Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, brother. Y'all excited to be here today?
Yeah.
On this next Sunday of Lent? Amen. We're journeying along, as Matt says, right? Hey, your title for today is this: Stand Firm in Repentance. Standing firm in repentance. How many of y'all glad y'all got a God that we can repent to? Amen. Instead of getting lied to by the world and Satan, that we don't need to do all that stuff, right? We got a God that loves us enough that no matter what we do that might be wrong, He will accept our repentance, won't He? Amen. Hey, we got the main scripture today is going to come from the book of Luke, chapter 13, verse 1 through 9. Luke 13, 1 through 9, the NIV version says it this way. Now, there were some present at the time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all of the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will perish." Or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, right, you too will all perish. Then he told them this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard. And he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming and I've been looking for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up good soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. If not, then cut it down." Amen. Ooh, that's a good scripture, ain't it? We're going to get into that one here in just a little bit. But your first scripture today is going to come from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 through 13. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 13, also the NIV version says this: "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses, into the cloud and into the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual water, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, for some of them were, as it was written, 'The people sat down to eat and to drink, and got up to indulge in revelry.' We should not commit sexual immorality, for some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ, right, as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide us a way out of that temptation so that you can endure it. Amen. Let's pray real fast. Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, I thank you for allowing your Holy Spirit to speak through me, Lord, getting Ronnie out of the way today, Lord. Lord, may it be your blessing and a message to us, Lord. Lord, may you open our heart, mind, and soul, Lord, to that message you have to us, Lord. Lord, may we glean a little bit closer to you today, Lord. May we lean a little bit more depth into your word, Lord. Lord, and especially during this time of Lent, Lord, may we be repentant. May we be humble, Lord, with every action that we have, Lord. Lord, we ask you just be with the rest of the service. In your name I pray. Amen. That's some good scripture, wasn't it? So I tell y'all what, beloved in Christ, as we journey through this season of Lent, we're reminded of the trials, we're reminded of the temptations, and we're reminding of the testing that come with our faith walk. Lent itself is a time, again, of self-examination, of repentance, and renewal. Today we turn to Paul's letter to the Corinthians, where he draws lessons from the Israelites' journey through the wilderness. Their story serves as both a warning for us and a source of encouragement, I get that word out, for us as well as we navigate through our own spiritual journeys. Amen. Because we can truly learn from the past, can't we? Verse 1 through 5, Paul begins reminding the Corinthians of their spiritual heritage. The Israelites, though delivered from Egypt and blessed with God's presence, failed to remain faithful, didn't they? They failed, guys. They all experienced the miraculous provisions of the God. That cloud, right? The Red Sea crossing. The manna falling. And the water from the rock. But many of them fell down, didn't they? Many of them fell because of their disobedience. Are we being disobedient today? Like the Israelites, we too have experienced God's blessing, haven't we? We have a baptism. We have our participation in the body of Christ. And we have His continued guidance through each one of us. However, Paul warns them, just as he warns us, not to become complacent. Don't get stuck in a rut, right? Don't become complacent. Privileges do not guarantee perseverance. Rather, faithfulness for it and obedience to God's word does guarantee that, don't it? We also see the dangers of idolatry and the sin. In verses 6 through 10, we see those dangers, don't we? Paul highlights four major sins for us of the Israelites. They had idolatry. They had immorality. They had testing God, didn't they? And they were grumbling with each other. These serve as warnings for each one of us today. We see the idolatry. The Israelites made and worshipped a golden calf, didn't they? Idolatry is not just about statues, though, isn't it? But anything and everything that we prioritize today over God. Could be money. Could be status. Could be power. Or it could even be a comfort. Can become an idol. Just being a comfort of sitting in your house rather than going to church and learning more about God. Right? Any of that can be idolatry. We also see the immorality. Paul references the sexual sin that led to the fall of many Israelites. In our culture today, y'all know we got moral compromise. It's often normalized, isn't it? It's accepted and not frowned upon like it should be, right? But as followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to be holiness. We're called to holiness in our body, aren't we? Not into what the world does, right? But to stand up and stand still against it, right? We also see the testing of God. The Israelites question God's goodness and provision. How often do we doubt God's faithfulness to us. When trials come our way, we question it, don't we? It's okay, right? It's okay to question when we get the struggles in our way, right? But we still need to stand firm and still continue trusting God, even when we're struggling through that, right? We also see he was talking about grumbling. Complaining against God and his plans reveal a lack of trust, don't it? Gratitude and faith should replace our tendency to grumble. We also see a call to stand firm, don't we? Verses 11 through 13. Paul reminds us that those stories were written for our instructions today. The Lenten journey is a time to examine our hearts and ensure that we do not fail and fall into the same patterns of sin that the Israelites did. Yet this passage does not end in despair, does it? But it does end in hope, right? Paul assures us that God is faithful always and to the end, right? He will not allow us to be tempted beyond what each one of us can bear. Hey, guess what? What I can be tempted might not be as much as somebody else can. But God will stop it at what I can bear. He won't tempt us past what we can bear, right? He'll provide us a way out. As we face trials and temptations, let us hold fast to God's promises. Prayer, Scripture, and the support of our Christian community equip each one of us to endure those, don't they? Our strength does not come from ourselves, but from the grace of God who sustains each one of us. During this third Sunday of Lent, we're invited to reflect on our own spiritual journey. Are we standing firm on that? Or are we falling into the same traps that those Israelites did? The good news is this, though. Through Christ, we have the power to overcome. Let us take heed to those warnings. Let us repent where necessary. And let us trust in God's faithfulness. Because He is truly with us, isn't He? In every trial, providing the strength that each one of us need to remain faithful. As we walk through this Lenten season, Lord, help us to learn from our past, to avoid the pitfalls of sin, and to stand firm in Christ. Give us the strength to resist the temptation and trust in your faithfulness. Amen. Now your main scripture today again, Luke 13:1-9. This season of Lent, again, is a time of reflection, repentance, and renewal. As we journey through toward the cross, in the words of Jesus, in Luke 13:1-9, we should remind each one of us of the urgency of repentance and the patience of God Himself. In the passage, Jesus addresses two tragic events, warning His listeners to turn from their sins while there's still time. Right? Not when time's up. Right? Because guess what? If we haven't turned from sin when time's up, we're too late. Amen? We ain't going to make it through eternity. Or we'll make it through eternity, but it ain't going to be in heaven, is it? If we haven't turned from our sins when time's up, we'll be going to death, hell, and damnation with Satan, right? So we have to do that, right? While there's still time. He shares a parable about a barren fig tree. What that's doing, though, is illustrating God's mercy for us and the expectation for fruitfulness in each one of our lives. Today we're going to explore those two main themes in the passage: the necessity of repentance and the patience of God. We see the necessity of repentance in verse 1 through 5. Jesus responds to the reports of two tragic events: the massacre of Galileans by Pilate and the collapse of the Tower of Siloam. The people seem to assume that these victims suffered because of their sins. Jesus, however, kind of corrects them, knowing. He corrects that misconception. He makes it clear that suffering is not necessarily a direct result of personal sin. Instead, he says this. Says that these tragedies, or uses these tragedies, as a call to repentance. Unless you repent, you will likewise perish. Just like they did. Amen. Guess what? I know this might be a new thought for somebody. Maybe not, hopefully not. But repentance itself is universal. Amen. Repentance is universal. Jesus does not single out certain sinners, right? But calls everybody to repentance. See, sin separates us from God. And without that repentance, we face eternal judgment, don't we? The Bible consistently teaches us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And therefore, we must all repent to be reconciled with that God, right? And we see that we truly have an urgent in that repentance. The people who died from the tragedies had no warning, did they? Similarly, today we don't have any warning of when Jesus is going to come back, do we? So again, the call to repentance is not one to delay. As Paul writes, now is the day of salvation. Repentance is not about comparing ourselves to others, is it? The people thought that those who suffered were worse sinners than what they were. But Jesus shifted that, didn't he? He shifts the focus from others to your personal accountability before God. Scripture reminds each one of us that judgment belongs to God alone. Not us, right? But a God above. And Jesus warns each one of us against self-righteousness in the parable of the Pharisees and the tax collector. We also see the patience of God over here. Verses 6 through 9. To illustrate his point, Jesus shares us the parable of that barren fig tree. A man had a fig tree that bore no fruit for how many years? 3 years. That's a pretty long time, man. I don't know if I would have lasted that long. I'd have probably cut it down after one or two if nothing was showing up, right? He considered cutting it down, didn't he? But the gardener pleaded him for more time to fertilize it and nurture it in the hopes that it will bear fruit. How many of y'all are letting God fertilize and nurture you today so that you'll bear more fruit? Because God expects fruitfulness, don't he? The fig tree represents Israel and by extension all believers today. In the Old Testament, Israel is often symbolized by the fig tree. John the Baptist warned that every tree that does not bear good fruit is what? Cut down and thrown into the fire, emphasizing the necessity of a transformed lives. Amen. We also see God being patient, don't we? The owner was ready to cut down that tree, but the gardener, think of the gardener as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He interceded for more time, didn't he? Peter reminds us that the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness, right? Instead, though, he is patient with us, not wanting anybody to perish, but everybody to come to repentance, right? Because God's patience is there, but it's not limitless, is it? If the tree remained barren, it would eventually get cut down, wouldn't it? While God is merciful, there is a time when that judgment day will come. If repentance is neglected, Hebrews 9:27 states, it is appointed for the man to die once, and after that comes judgment. Jesus warns us in this parable, the warning in this parable reflects the reality that while God gives us time, that time, amen, is not infinite. It is coming. There is coming a day that there will be no more time for that salvation, right? So we should examine our hearts. Are you bearing fruit of repentance? Jesus said, You will recognize them by their fruits. True repentance often leads to a visible transformation for us, don't it? We should not delay, right? Because tomorrow is not guaranteed. If there's sin in their lives, turn to Christ today. Paul writes, God commands all people everywhere to repent. Not just some of them, right? But again, it's universal. All of them to repent. We need to trust in God's grace. Just as the gardener nurtured the fig tree, Jesus intercedes for each one of us here today and watching at home, offering us His grace and His guidance so that we may bear the fruit. As we continue through our Lenten journey, let us heed Jesus' call to that repentance. God, in His patience, gives us an opportunity to look back to Him. But we must not take it for granted, His grace for granted, should we? Let us live lives that bear fruit, demonstrating a true reflection and true transformation through Christ. May this season of Lent lead us to a deeper repentance and a renewal of God's commitment. And again, we see through the scripture here, Jesus again was addressing two key things, wasn't he? The urgency of repentance and the expectation of fruitfulness. Get that word out. The passage itself begins again with Jesus responding to news about those tragic events. And he uses this as a teaching moment to call his listeners to a personal repentance. He then shares the parable of that fig tree, illustrating God's patience to us, but also His expectation of spiritual growth along the way. Jesus is informed by the Galileans about the blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Rather than engaging in speculation about their guilt, though, Jesus redirects the focus, don't he, to the personal repentance. Again, remember the scripture. Unless you repent, you will likewise perish. He repeats this warning regarding that tragic event over the Tower of Siloam. His point is clear, isn't it? Tragedy should remind us of our own need for reflection and repentance. We should not assume others are more sinful than us, but rather we must examine our own hearts each and every day. When is a season of reflection and self-examination? Jesus' words remind us that repentance itself is not optional, is it? But it is mandatory. It is a necessary step toward salvation. We must turn from our sin, and we must align ourselves with our God's will, knowing that life itself is going to be uncertain, and tomorrow, again, is not promised, is it? Jesus follows that warning with the parable of the fig tree. A man planted a fig tree in his vineyard, expecting fruit to grow, right? But for 3 years, it bore nothing. The owner was ready to cut it down, but again, the vineyard keeper interceded, asking for more, or one more year, for it to nurture the tree. This parable itself highlights God's patience with us, don't he? He gives us opportunities to repent and bear fruit multiple times, don't he? However, His patience is not limitless, is it? Just as the tree was given time to be cultivated, we too have a window of grace to respond to God's call. The vineyard keeper requests more time to fertilize and care the tree, but if it remains fruitless, it will be cut down. If we remain fruitless, we will be cut down as well and cast into hell. Amen. That truly underscores that key truth about God. And that is this. God expects us, His people, to bear fruit in our lives. To have lives that reflect His grace and His righteousness, don't He? Bearing fruit means living in obedience. Not necessarily a fig tree or a fig fruit popping out on you, right? But bearing fruit means living in obedience, showing love, extending grace to others, and growing in our own faith. Lent truly is a time to ask us, are we bearing fruit in our spiritual lives? Are we using God's grace to grow? Or are we just sitting still and stagnant today? Luke 13:1-9 represents a sobering yet hopeful message for us, don't it? Jesus calls us to urgent repentance. He reassures us of God's patience with us. But He also reminds us of the expectation to bear fruit. As we continue to walk through Lent, let us examine our own hearts. Let us seek renewals. Let us commit to living lives to glorify our God. May we not take the God's grace for granted, but respond with faithfulness and obedience. Amen. It is time to take time this week to reflect on any areas that you have that you need to repent and that you need to seek God's renewal in. Commit to bearing fruit in your faith through the prayer and the acts of love. As we come for our closing song, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, I thank You for getting mine out of the way today, Lord. Lord, as always, I thank You for Your word spoken and not mine, Lord. Lord, I thank You for the blessing and the message that You have for us, Lord. Lord, I thank You for the expectation that You have of us, Lord, to truly repent, Lord, and truly to bear fruit in our lives, Lord. Lord, to truly serve You instead of the world, Lord. Lord, but we do know, and we ask You to put it on our hearts, Lord, even to share with somebody else, Lord, that the time and the grace is not limitless, Lord. We know that there is a day coming that You will be returning, Lord. None of us know what that day is, Lord. Again, like the message said, it could be tomorrow, Lord. Lord, are we ready for You? I ask You to put that on our hearts today, Lord. If we're not ready for You, Lord, I ask them to pray right now, Lord, that they would accept more that they need of You, Lord, whatever situation it might be, Lord. Lord, we ask that we can boldly go through our Lent season, Lord, knowing how set we are, Lord. Lord, that we can stand still in Your love, Your goodness, and Your grace, Lord. Lord, we ask You, just put somewhere in front of us this week, Lord. Lord, that we can tell truly about Your mercy, Your grace, Lord, and Your awesome love for each one of us, Lord. We thank You for each and everything that You do, Lord. In Your name I pray. Amen.